welcome to The Intersection. I have distracted myself this evening by looking at polling numbers, and I know I shouldn't get too excited. You know, we still have to do the work. We still have to show up. Everybody, make sure you check your voter registration. Know when and where you can vote and vote early. We still have some primaries that have not happened yet. So be sure to know who's running and where to vote and how to vote. Make sure you are registered to vote, and make sure that you check your voter registration regularly, because, you know, they're doing these data purges and doing all kinds of stuff. And I tell you what, you know, one way to guarantee that you'll be able to vote on Election Day, become an election worker. Because I guarantee you, every election worker's going to get to vote. In fact, they'll be the first in line to vote if they want to. You know, it's great. I've been doing it a long time. I work early voting, and I get paid a little. Not a lot, but a little. I can't recommend it enough. Become an election worker. Be a judge. Be an election judge. Run your own polling place. I actually prefer the alternate position, you know, the second in command, because all the stress is really on the judge or during early voting, the lead clerk. And the alternate's the backup. You get paid a little more than a regular clerk, and you have some authority, but much lower on the stress factor. So for me, that's my place to be, is the second in command. My son does it as well. It's a great gig. If you've got the availability, or, you know, if you just do Election Day, you take one day off of work, and I promise you, most bosses are going to say, you know what? That's great. And hey, here's a thought. If you have a food truck of some sort, find out where you can park your food truck outside a polling place so that people can get food if there's lines. You know, find out where the lines are going to be. You know? Food trucks are great things. And here's the thing about that. The people work in the polls, they may not have the ability to go get something to eat, and they may need a snack, and you being there with your food truck, they're going to love you for that. So, hey, get involved. Get involved. Just, you want to guarantee that you get to vote, that you're not screwed out of voting because of something they've done? Work at the polls. Be a poll worker. Well, I'm looking at these numbers, and it's looking good. It's looking good. I'm just looking at midterm voting and some of the demographic breakdowns. Let's see here. All right. So, when it comes to men, it's pretty well an even split on whether they prefer a Democrat or Republican. 41 Democrat, 42 Republican. That's, well, that's a big change, folks. That is a big change. For women, 45% prefer a Democratic candidate and 33% a Republican. That's a 21-point wow. when it comes to white people, well, still 46. Yeah. Yeah. 46 for Republicans to 36. Or is that 38? Yep. 36 for Democrats. That's not good, folks. Not good. Hispanic voters, 49% prefer Democratic candidate to just 26% for Republicans. I wonder what Republicans might have done to cause that. Blacks, 68% for Democrats, 8% prefer Republican. Eight. Asian, 56% prefer a Democrat versus just 21% prefer a Republican candidate. Now, we have an interesting breakdown by age. The 18 to 29, the new voters, young voters, 47% prefer a Democratic candidate to just 24% preferring Republican. All right, and then we've got the next age group is 30 to 49. Age 30 to 49, it is 42% for a Democratic candidate over 35% preferring a Republican. And then the 50 to 64 age group, that's me and my husband, most people I went to school with. Well, sorry, folks. 39% to 44%. That's really, though, that's not bad. I got to tell you. And then 65 plus, check this out, 44% for Democrats over 41% for Republicans. Woohoo! Seniors are voting Democratic this time around. You know who is the most reliable voter? People over 65. You know, your retirees know when and where to vote. Here in the state of Texas, they vote by mail. Isn't it great? Isn't it grand? And those of you who live in Texas and like to vote by mail because maybe you're over 65 or you're disabled, make sure that you renewed this year for the election, you know, and you let them know that you want to vote by mail or you have applied to vote by mail. That's the thing, you know. And if you have somebody that maybe, you know, they're not able to wait in line or do something like that. Here in Texas, we have curbside voting. And so if you can just, you know, get them into the car and drive them to the polling place, there's a little sandwich board with a phone number on it. You call that number. They let us know inside that there's a curbside voter outside, but we can't have too many people doing that. It just it's much better to vote by mail than curbside. And then you make sure when you get that ballot, turn around, vote your ballot, and get it in the mail. I would say, you know, get that sucker in the mailbox that day or the next. Don't put it off. But if you did put it off and you got to election day or you change your mind and you decide you want to go vote in person, make sure you bring your ballot with you. Very, very important. Bring that ballot with you. Now, I wonder where everybody is tonight. Here it is, 10 minutes into the show, and we've got no one. Oh, I'm sorry. We are almost 15 minutes into the show, and no callers. Well, if you want to join the call conversation, all you need to do is go to gabnet.net, gabnet.net, and click on Amy Manuel's Intersection. That will take you to our session, and you can join the conversation here on the internet, the intersection, here on the intersection. Now let's take some look. Oh, here we go, Wayne. Hey, Wayne. I was starting to get worried there. 15 minutes into the show and nobody.
Oh, really? Wow.
I've been sitting here talking to myself. I've just been reading off what some of the numbers look like broken down by demographic for the midterms. And here I'll share that screen with you so you can see what I'm looking at. Get that. Can you see that?
I see, yeah, it's a kind of a chart.
Yeah.
Like a plus and minus chart.
Yeah, so you've got over here on the blue side is the preference is for the Democratic candidate, and the red side is for the Republican candidate. And I broken down by age, it's only my age group, the 50 to 64, that leans a little bit Republican still. But look at this, 65 plus, you've got 44 to 41% for the Democratic candidate. Seniors voting for Democrats. That's good news. Because that's the most reliable vote right there.
Right.
And then we've got, it's interesting, broken down by education level. Now, if you are a high school or less, if you're a dropout, you lean Republican by 10 points. It's 41% to 31%. But then, if you got any college at all, the more education you've gotten, the more you lean toward that Democratic candidate.
Yeah, I see that.
Yeah, so you've got... if you got some college, it's 42 to 39. If you're a college graduate, it's 48 to 35. And if you are a post-grad, if you have college beyond the first 4 years, you are 59% to 26.
Yeah. That's a blowout,
What Trump says, smart people don't like me, he was not kidding.
Yeah.
Oh. So, yeah, I thought that was interesting. And then we've got the latest polls here. It looks like Tallarico has pulled.
I heard he was leading, yeah.
Yeah, he has pulled ahead by 3 points. I can't decide whether I need my readers or not. So it's like if I get closer to the screen, then I need the readers. But if I get further from the screen, well, it's kind of small print. So. But yeah, Tallarico has in the Fox News poll that came out, 51 to 48 Tallarico. Yay! And the Texas governor's race, that's pretty much a dead heat. It's 50 to 49. Let's see here. Do we have Ohio?
It was in the right column.
Let's see.
Before you scroll.
Let's go to Senate races. Let's go to Ohio. Let's see here. Where is it? Should be on here somewhere. Well, maybe this is the wrong. Let's see. There we go. All right. Here's Alan. All right. Do we have Ohio? Hey, oh, way to go, Ohio. Here we go. Now, this has Husted.
Yeah, Husted, yeah.
Husted ahead by a little, 50 to 47. But, you know, that's pretty close. That's kind of within the margin of error.
Yeah.
I don't think we need to worry about California. What do you think? North Carolina. Looks like Cooper is winning North Carolina. That's good news. Alright. Michigan. Oh, that's a primary election. General election. North Carolina. General election, Michigan. Well, I can't tell what that is.
Yeah, four people on there.
Are there two people named Rogers? What? I don't know what's going on with Michigan. Michigan is weird. Well, I guess they've got the primary. It depends on who he's running against. Looks like Rogers does much better against El Saeed. So Rogers being the Republican.
Yeah.
Over Stevens. So Michigan, please, please vote for Stevens in the primary.
Yeah.
We need that seat, folks. We need that seat. Alan, I see you're here, but your camera's not on.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out why.
Okay. You might have to reboot or something. Sometimes that stuff happens.
Sometimes. I just got done rebooting.
Yeah. So we've got Montana. We've got... Looks like there's a green person who is pulling ahead of the Democrat. And that's weird looking. I don't know what's going there. I don't think Montana, there's much chance anyway. So I'm not even going to worry about Montana. Georgia, Ossoff is winning. Woohoo! And let's see. Maine. It looks like Maine is going to the Democrat. How about that?
Yeah.
Yay. Here. I've got from CNN this guy here running some of the numbers. He's kind of entertaining to watch. Let's hear what he has to say.
taking their anger out on President Trump. We'll start off there. Take a look here. Voters under the age of 50 on Trump. In the fall of 2024, Kamala Harris led in her polling by just 3 points. Look at where Donald Trump is. He was within 3 points of Kamala Harris. Now his net approval rating on the year in the average of CNN polling, look at that, minus 41 points. That is a shift of 38 points away from the President of the United States. He is falling through the floor. If you look at the trend line among voters over the age of 50 or 50 and older, the shift that we've seen amongst them against President Trump is less than half that. In fact, it's under a 15-point shift. So the reason why President Trump is so unpopular at this point is the shift among younger voters, those under the age of 50, your Gen Z, your millennials. They gave President Trump a little bit of a try in 2024. No longer. He is down there, right there underneath the ocean floor.
How does that and how does that translate to when you're looking at Congress?
Yeah, okay. So obviously President Trump is not on the ballot this year. But if you're a Republican in Congress and you think you're going to escape the unpopularity that President Trump has amongst younger voters, you got another thing coming, because just take a look at these shifts. Okay, in the fall of 2024, the choice for House margin, Democrats were leading amongst those under the age of 50 by 4 points. Look at that lead now, though. Look at that lead now. It's more than four times that. A double-digit shift. Their lead is now 17 points. Look at those 50 and older. Look at that. Republicans led by 8. They now lead by 6. Basically the same. The reason why Democrats have been able to jump out to this lead in Congress, the reason why that they are likely to take back the U.S. House of Representatives is not older voters. The key game that has shifted here, the key play that has shifted here, is younger voters. Those under the age of 50 are taking out their anger, it seems to me, that they have against President Trump. They're going to take it out against Republicans in Congress this fall. This is a titanic type of shift.
All right, so younger voters, but we saw a shift in the older voters too. Well, Charlie has joined us, and we've lost Alan. I guess he's trying to reboot and he couldn't get his camera working. Not that it matters to the people that are listening online, because they can't see us anyway. So how was your day? I imagine you did a lot of umpiring tonight, huh?
I sure did.
Especially
the game ran late.
Well, I know when we were driving back from my in-law's house this evening, it was 110 when we stopped to get Sonic.
Wow.
So what was it in Austin?
It was 103 when I got there at 6 o'clock.
It's just, I don't know how you do that.
It was still 91 when I got home at 11. So.
That's nuts. That is nuts. So what was the weather? Make us jealous, Wayne.
Well, let's see. Right now, one of the TV stations says it's 73 here.
Oh, Lord.
And it may have gotten close to 80 or something like that today. If anything, in the very low 80s. But I don't have that here right now. So
it is currently, there's a heat advisory in effect. It's currently 90 degrees in Denton at 11:30 at night.
Yep.
I would pass out. I don't know how you do. How many games did you umpire today?
I umpired four.
Four? That is a lot.
Yeah, two of them ran over an hour, though, because we had to start an inning with less than a minute on the clock. So we had to play a whole inning after that. So they ran about an hour and 5 minutes each.
Mm. Oof. That's a lot. That's a long time in the sun. That
was an extra half hour or so than what I would normally be out there. So.
Yeah. That's crazy.
You can see where my watch leaves a shadow on my wrist.
So you do tan. Even though
that's the way I am in December or whatever.
Okay.
Christmas time.
Yeah, I just wondered about that. Is there any way for you to get sunburned?
I've never been sunburned in my life.
Never been sunburned? It's
no
fun.
I just get darker.
As a, as a person who has definitely gotten sunburned quite a lot, not so much now, but when I was young, because, you know, we'd get to the beach and we'd wake up the next morning and we'd go out to the beach at like 5 or 6 a.m., and then we come back to the beach cabin around 5 or 6 p.m.
Yep, so you're out there a long time.
Right. And in the old days when I was a little kid, you'd put on, like, baby oil.
Yeah.
Or copper tone, the oily kind that had zero SPF and was just, let's see if we can just fry ourselves in the sun.
Yeah. Well, it's definitely worse now than it was like back in the 60s. I mean, I had friends that could be out there all day with me and they'd just tan. They wouldn't get darker. I mean, they wouldn't burn. But now if you're out more than 4 or 5 hours, you're going to burn unless you have SPF 2000 or something.
Well, it didn't take that. I burned, you know. As I got older, I would just kind of stay the same color. Maybe get a slightly darker shade of still pretty white. Here comes Alan.
We had 80 as a high today.
80.
I mean, we didn't get anywhere near 80 as a low.
I mean, that sounds like a warm winter's day. In Texas. Alan's back. So we were talking about, apparently Charlie can actually get darker, and so he's got a tan line where his watch is. When you were a kid, did you ever get sunburned? Did you have a problem?
Doesn't everybody?
I've never been sunburned. I just get darker.
Yeah. Alan, did you get sunburned?
No.
No, you didn't have a problem with getting sunburned as a kid?
I don't remember that.
He just never went outside.
That's right. Wait, beautiful weather. 85 degrees in Austin.
Yeah, I remember peeling skin, you know, after a good summer.
Did you ever get a blister? You got so bad you got a blister?
No, just the top layer, a very thin layer. It's once peel off, that's it.
Yeah, it turns red and then it peels.
Yeah,
I have occasionally gotten like third degree burns. Mm. When I was little, not
wow.
Years. Now I'm old and you can find SPF, you know, 50, and I cover myself in SPF, you know, 2000.
I never use a sun tanning lotion.
Oh, you don't?
No, not at all. Never.
Never use sunscreen?
No. Never.
Well, our white umpires definitely use sunscreen.
Well, you know, blacks need sunscreen too, though.
I don't use it.
But look, you got a great tan already. So, yeah. Blacks can get sunburned too.
I've heard that. Yeah, you have light skin. Guys are real light skin. Sure.
Well, you're fairly light skin. You're not dark like Jack Bishop was or anything.
No, but I'm just saying. I don't use sunscreen. I never burned.
Yeah,
I've never had my skin peel. My ex-wife would if we were out outside, but you know she was Caucasian, so
yeah. It's gonna be warm here on the East Coast. I mean the West Coast, wherever the hell I'm at.
Yeah.
So what was the high today in Fremont?
80.
Oh.
Sorry, it's probably higher than that right now in Austin.
Yeah, it's like 88 right now.
It's
yes, it says 85 on the Weather Channel in Austin.
It's 90 in Denton. At 11:30 at night, it is 90 degrees.
Beautiful.
It was 110 at like 7 o'clock this evening.
Wow.
110.
Yeah.
It hasn't been that hot yet, thank God.
Yeah. Well,
I don't know where it's saying 84. My thermometer on the porch says it's 87.
You know, different. You're kind of pretty far north.
I'm northwest. I'm far northwest, Austin. I'm actually in Williamson County. I'm not even.
I think the Weather Channel gets its weather from the air with the closest airport.
The airport's about 23 to 24 miles from here.
So, yeah, the further north you go, the hotter it gets, apparently.
That's strange how that works, isn't it?
Right.
That's Texas for you.
Yeah. Yeah, all those people that came to Texas for the World Cup found out, and it wasn't even when they first got here. We're like, no, Texas is just preheating right now.
Yeah,
it's gonna get worse.
Yep,
they found out. They're like, why is everything so air conditioned? You'll see, you'll see.
I could not have survived in Texas before we had air conditioning.
There's no way. I've had air conditioning my entire life. My whole life. And it used to be not as hot. Of course, I used to live in Beaumont, which was south, you know, southeast and closer to the coast. So it was probably 10 to 15 degrees cooler than Dallas most of the time. And in the winter, that same amount warmer.
It's colder.
It was warmer in the winter and colder in the summer.
I meant Dallas is colder, yeah, because...
Dallas is colder. Dallas has really extreme weather. It gets very hot and very cold compared to the rest of Texas.
Yeah, I have relatives who live in Dallas, and it snows there a lot more than it does here in Austin.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Snows and ices.
Were you guys watching this thing that's in the middle of my screen, Amy? Choice for House Martin.
Yeah, we watched that a little bit.
Still here on my screen.
Yeah,
okay.
I didn't stop the share.
Okay. Ah. No problem.
All right. There we go.
So,
y'all want to do some trivia?
Sure.
All right. We're going, the topic is 80s movies. John Hughes set many of his best known movies in the suburbs of what city? Come on, Charlie.
I can't even name a John Hughes movie.
Chicago.
Chicago is correct.
Well, good. Maybe that's the reason I'll start watching some.
John Hughes, that's like Breakfast Club, Pretty in Pink, 16 Candles.
I didn't know those
Ferris
were
Bueller's, Ferris Bueller's Day Off, Risky Business. All of those are John Hughes films set in Chicago.
You're right. Risky Business was set in Chicago, yeah.
I got the X-rated movie. It's called Sticky Business.
But I didn't know that Risky Business was a John Hughes movie, but I knew it was set in Chicago. I agree with Wayne.
Red card.
Red card.
Yeah.
What's the
Alan,
red card
you got mean? That was for you, Alan.
something new.
That's a penalty.
That's a penalty. You got a penalty on that on that joke. All right, what movie tracked two men's extensive attempts to disguise a corpse while in the Hamptons?
Weekend at Bernie's.
Yeah.
Weekend at Bernie's. Weekend at McConnell's house.
Name three members of the Brat Pack in the movie The Breakfast Club.
Oh, God. I can see their faces.
Robert Downey Jr.
Nope.
Yeah, that's one. No, he's not. No,
he's not in Breakfast Club.
What about the Lunch Club? I'm going to get a red card.
Anthony.
Okay.
That's his first name. He's got three
names. What's his last name?
Edward.
No, not Edward.
There's one person that when I was much, much, much younger, I was told I looked like.
So you were in your 50s.
Okay. Molly Ringwald?
No.
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 That was 16 Candles. Never mind.
Molly Ringwald was in it. And Anthony, what you were looking for was Anthony Michael Hall.
That's it. I should remember there's three names and I would have got it. Yeah.
And then
who's the other one?
The other three are Emilio Estevez, Judd Nelson, and the
Judd Nelson's the one I could picture and I couldn't think of his name.
And the one that I got compared to was Ally Sheedy.
Oh, wow.
I was 20, 30 years younger.
Oh, I loved her in War Games. God, Ally Sheedy, she was great. Man.
All right.
With Matthew Broderick?
Yeah.
Now, two of you better get this one right. What movie begins with a grandfather reading to his sick grandson a story about true love? And the father was played by Peter Falk.
Oh, that would be Charlie and Wayne.
I was going to say A Christmas Story until you said True Love.
What movie begins with a grandfather, the Princess Bride, reading to his sick grandson?
Yep.
But it is officially a Christmas movie.
There it is. Yeah.
Because there's like a Santa Claus on the wall in the little boy's room, and outside you can see snow.
Yeah.
So it's a Christmas movie.
Now how you're that's right, Peter Falk's in that, and he's the grandfather.
That's right.
He was the grandfather, yeah.
I don't get hung up on that movie that much. I like it a lot, and I'm glad you suggested it, but I haven't seen it in a month. You expect me to? I can't remember what I had to do.
What term is used to describe the androids Harrison Ford hunts in Blade Runner?
God, I should know that.
Never saw Blade Runner.
Replicants. I'm going to kick myself.
What sport is at the center of Vision Quest?
Ooh, I don't know that.
Wrestling. It's Matthew Modine played the high school wrestler, and Madonna sang Crazy for You.
Ooh. Okay.
All right.
Matthew Modine, what else is he in? He's in the Vietnam War movie with...
Matthew Modine's been in a ton of stuff.
Yeah. But I got the name of the movie on the top one.
Isn't that Full Metal Jacket, is it?
Yes, Full Metal Jacket.
Yeah.
Yeah, it goes by Joker. I just saw it the other night. Sorry.
All right. The next category is candy. What country does Pocky come from?
Pocky?
I don't know what that is.
Never heard of it.
Yeah. Y'all know Pocky? It's like almost like a breadstick with like a chocolate tip or something like that. There's different flavors.
No Pocky here.
Pocky's quite good. Pocky comes from Japan. What Lou Reed song immortalizes several Warhol superstars, including Hollywood Lawn and Candy Darling?
Walk on the Wild Side.
Yep. That's the only Lou Reed song I know.
Yeah.
Although I used to have a Lou Reed album or cassette or CD or something. I had something Lou Reed at some point. I have no idea what happened to it. In 1912, what candy collection was introduced in a box illustrated with cross-stitch pattern?
Hershey.
Whitman Sampler.
Yeah. Whitman Sampler, yep.
Yeah.
What candy lures Edmund into the clutches of the White Witch in The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe? Turkish Delight. When I got when my husband and I went and did the Turkish lamps, they gave you a piece of Turkish Delight.
Ah.
That's yummy candy. All right. What ingredient makes most marshmallows, jelly beans, and gummy bears unsuitable for strict vegetarians?
Corn syrup? I don't know.
Strict vegetarians.
No, I don't know what a strict vegetarian eats and does eat.
It doesn't eat meat. So
well, yeah, that's one thing.
Doesn't eat anything that's an animal product.
Right.
Right.
So it's something that's in jelly beans, marshmallows.
And gummy bears.
I love gummy bears.
Corn syrup is in all those. So
yeah, but that's not what...
That's obviously not what you're looking for. I don't know.
Gelatin.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
I was thinking like... animal fat or something like that.
No, it's gelatin. Gelatin is an animal product.
Mm-hmm. Sort of, yeah.
What Wrigley gum was thought up by two baseball players and sold by the pouch?
Where is on Charlie right now?
Big League Chew.
That is correct.
That was a guess. I still remember seeing Big League Chew, though, when I was a kid.
All right. New category is Monty Python. Terry Gilliam directed a film about a futuristic dystopia. Directed what film about a futuristic dystopia? And its name is a South American country.
Oh. Brazil.
Brazil. What fictional Beatles-esque band was created by Eric Idle and Neil Innes? They had a movie, All You Need Is Cash.
Never mind.
That was the Ruddles. Its members were Nasty, Stig, Dirk, and Barry. Before there was This Is Spinal Tap, there was the Ruddles. What instrument of religious persecution does nobody expect?
The Spanish Inquisition.
Yes. Bring out the comfy chair. The wreck. Who was the principal artist animator of Monty Python? Was it Terry Gilliam, Eric Idle, or Michael Palin?
Michael Palin.
Anybody want to guess?
Okay, you guys. You jab the other two.
I'm going to say Eric Idle.
We're looking for the animator, the artist. The only American, Terry Gilliam.
Terry Gilliam, okay.
Yep. We already talked about. He directed the film Brazil.
Yeah.
All right. What normally talkative bird was silent throughout a sketch about its demise?
What is a parrot?
A parrot.
A dead parrot.
It's resting. It's pining for the fjords. Not pining, it's passed on. It's join the choir invisible.
Every time I see that skit, my side hurts when I'm done.
What's your favorite version of dead?
Favorite version of dead?
Yeah, that John Cleese uses.
Oh, I don't remember. I'm sorry.
It's join the choir invisible is my favorite.
Yeah.
That's my favorite. It's not binding, it's passed on. Kick the bucket. What item of clothing must each twit remove from a mannequin in the upper class twit of the year event? Extremely difficult for men to remove.
Gotta be a bra.
That's correct.
I was very bad at removing bras.
And most women can do it one-handed behind their back.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, but women aren't so good at removing things on men, so we'll leave it at that, you know?
What famed volcanic cone? The famed volcanic cone diamonds is the category. The famed volcanic cone Diamond Head is on what Hawaiian island?
Oahu.
That's correct. What monkey's hit was penned by Neil Diamond?
I'm a believer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
In what country does the Hope Diamond reside?
Well, my sister's name's Hope, but that doesn't count.
South Africa?
No, I'm gonna say Switzerland.
You're both wrong.
Okay, good.
It's in the United States. It's in the Smithsonian.
Oh. And Donald Trump will be wearing it next week.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised.
Who played James Bond in Diamonds Are Forever?
Roger Moore.
That would be Sean Connery.
Oh, yes. Did you go back that far?
Yep.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's one of the best puns I have ever heard in a movie in my life.
That's the one with the laser?
Yeah, this was the one where they were smuggling diamonds, and he says, how can you smuggle diamonds? And he says, it's alimentary, my dear, whatever.
I like the one where he's on the table and there's a laser beam coming at him.
That's Goldfinger, isn't it?
Yeah, and he says, you expect me to talk? He says, no, Mr. Bond, I expect you to die.
All right, what element are diamonds made of?
Carbon.
Carbon.
What state is home to Major League Baseball's Diamondbacks?
I know that.
Arizona.
Yep. I've been to many Diamondback games when I lived there for a year and a half.
All right. New category, gold. What state are you in if you're visiting Klondike Gold Rush National Park?
California?
No. Klondike. Alaska.
Oh. Close enough.
What actor sang the opening lines of Kanye West's Gold Digger?
I do not listen to Kanye West songs.
That was Jamie Foxx.
Okay.
Yeah, I've never listened to Kanye. Not my thing. Before the Gold Standard Act of 1900, paper money was backed by gold and what?
Silver?
Correct.
Yep.
What band was named for one of Roald Dahl's golden ticket winners?
Come on, Wayne, you know this.
No.
He's only the person that holds up the red card when I make a joke that doesn't go over.
That would be Veruca Salt.
Oh, okay. Never, well, I never would have gotten
never that. Heard of that.
Yeah.
Me either.
What affliction can be tested with injections of gold? Can be treated with injections of gold. What affliction can be treated with injections of gold?
Can you give us three choices?
Arthritis?
Arthritis is correct.
Don't know if that's been proven, but go ahead.
No, it's the copper that hasn't been proven. I think they've proven it with gold.
Yeah, this is an injection. So. Yeah. All right. What amateur boxing tournament launched the careers of Joe Louis, Muhammad Ali, Marvin Hagler, and Oscar De La Hoya?
Golden Gloves?
Golden Gloves is correct.
Oh, okay.
You know that Oscar De La Hoya has an album out that he sung? Part in English, part in Spanish. He sung. I got to find my CDs. I have a CD somewhere around.
Now, I knew about Muhammad Ali because he was a Golden Gloves champion before he was in the Olympics.
All right, new category, vampires. Buffy the Vampire Slayer is set in what state?
I have no idea.
California.
Ah, okay.
Beneath Sunnydale High lurks a hellmouth, a supernatural conduit.
Yep.
All right. Who did not appear in Interview with the Vampire? Antonio Banderas, Kirsten Dunst, Brad Pitt, or Benicio del Toro? Benicio del Toro.
Kirsten Dunst?
Benicio del Toro.
That's what I was going to go for.
Benicio was not in Interview with the Vampire? Wow.
He was not in Interview with the Vampire.
Wow.
But Antonio Banderas, Kirsten Dunst, and Brad Pitt all
were. Brad Pitt were, but I couldn't remember any.
Tom Cruise was in that, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know that I ever saw the movie.
Oh, I have. It's one of the few movies I could say I've seen.
What was the nickname of Vlad Dracula thought to be the model for Bram Stoker's Count Dracula?
The Impaler? Something the Impaler?
Yep. The Impaler.
Yep. Vlad the Impaler.
Yes.
That is correct. What renowned vampire novelist was born Howard Allan O'Brien?
Boris. Whatever his last name.
I think she's vampire. I think she's from Texas.
Oh, oops, sorry.
From Austin, that wasn't Boris. I believe.
Stephanie something or other. I can't remember.
Nope. No.
Oh.
Anne Rice.
Oh, Anne Rice. Yeah.
Oh. Okay. Is brown rice or white rice?
Suzanne Rice. Vampire Hunter Blade sometimes uses silver bullets filled with what culinary staple?
I didn't know you had to fill the silver bullets with anything.
I didn't know that either. I thought silver was the death penalty.
Well, in Blade.
Yeah. Okay. I never saw Blade.
Okay.
Me either.
It's garlic.
Oh, of course, garlic. Yeah.
All right. In Stephanie Meyer's Twilight, the Cullen family gets together to play what?
Stephanie Meyer was the one I was trying to think of for the Anne Rice one. So what? I have no idea.
You should get this one.
I should?
You specifically.
Let's put Charlie on the spot here.
What was the question again?
Stephanie Meyer's Twilight, the Cullen family gets together to play what?
That must be softball.
Baseball, yeah.
Baseball. You know, God, what was her name? I can't think of her name. But anyway, as much as I like the actress from the Twilight movies. I can't. I've never seen one.
I saw the first one. I took Cullen and some of his friends to see the first one. Yeah. Okay. Our last category. Well, you know what? We're out of time. Look at it. It's 11:59.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, we'll save that for another night. Thank you all for joining me here, Alan, Wayne, and Charlie. And as I remind you, each time we do this, get registered, get informed, get politically active, and go vote. And if you don't have anything nice to say, come sit next to me.